This episode is sponsored by Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy is dedicated to providing 100% carbon-free energy by 2050, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. Join Xcel Energy and you'll find a purpose-driven career, solid job security, and challenging work. Xcel Energy knows the value your military service brings to the workplace. It's an exciting time to be in the energy industry. Whether you're on active duty, transitioning, or already embarking on your civilian career, learn about the opportunities with one of America's leading utilities, Xcel Energy, at xcelenergy.com/military. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform, career transition advice for military veterans and their families. I'm Justin Asiri, and today is episode number 326, Loving What Is with Byron Katie.
I was given the clarity just in a single moment. I saw that when I believed my thoughts, that was the cause of my suffering. And the good news is that what we're thinking and believing is the cause of our suffering. The good news is that we can identify all suffering to that. And then we can identify what we're thinking and believing in any given situation. And we can question what we were thinking and believing in those situations where we are so terrified or depressed, angry, frightened. We can question those thoughts once we identify them.
Byron Katie, while not a veteran, has started a movement over the last 30 years that has helped many veterans, myself included. She is the author of three best-selling books. The book of hers that I read over 4 years ago is Loving What Is. It is a book that still influences my life today. She has been interviewed by Oprah, praised by Eckhart Tolle and Time Magazine, and was extremely generous with her time with me on today's interview. So much of what my guests on the podcast talk about is mindset. Mindset to learn new skills in the workplace. Mindset to find your next mission, purpose, and calling. Mindset in learning what skills to keep from the military and which ones no longer serve you in your civilian career or life. In this interview, Byron shares a simple process. It's just four questions you can ask yourself that can help you in whatever challenges life presents. For some men and women, veterans Byron has worked with, this includes overcoming PTSD or healing from an abusive relationship. We also talk about how this process relates to simple, everyday occurrences like getting angry at other drivers while driving. We talk about how it relates to hiring for a job and more. I love and respect Byron's work, and it was a real honor to have her join me for this interview. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, you'll find show notes for this episode with a text transcript, thanks to Kathleen Dillon, as well as links to everything we discuss, including 12 different books by Byron and her upcoming conferences. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Byron Katie. Joining me today in Ojai, California, my guest is Byron Katie. Byron, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Oh, thank you, Justin. What a privilege to be with you today.
I want to give listeners a very abbreviated bio. Byron is a public speaker, writer, and the founder of a method of self-inquiry called The Work of Byron Katie, or simply The Work. Byron became severely depressed in her early 30s after nearly a decade of paranoia, rage, self-loathing, and constant thoughts of suicide. While in a halfway house for women with eating disorders, Byron experienced a life-changing realization. In that moment, she says, quote, "I discovered that when I believed my thoughts, I suffered, but that when I didn't believe them, I didn't suffer, and that this is true for every human being. Freedom is as simple as that. I found that suffering is optional. I found a joy within me that has never disappeared, not for a single moment. Since then, she has shared the work with millions of people at public events in prisons, hospitals, churches, VA treatment centers, corporations, universities, and schools. Katie's events are riveting to watch, says the Times of London. Eckhart Tolle calls the work a great blessing for our planet, and Time magazine named Katie a spiritual innovator for the new millennium. She has been interviewed by Oprah Winfrey for over three times about her book, Loving What Is, and her work has affected countless lives. So Byron, maybe to start things off, what else would you want listeners to know about what led you to the work that you call the work?
Well, a lot of suffering, number one, even though it's not a requirement to do this work, but a lot of suffering. And I was given the clarity just in a single moment. I saw that when I believed my thoughts, that was the cause of my suffering. And the good news is that what we're thinking and believing is the cause of our suffering. The good news is that we can identify all suffering to that. And then we can identify what we're thinking and believing in any given situation. And we can question what we were thinking and believing in those situations where we are so terrified or depressed, angry, frightened. We can question those thoughts once we identify them. And the way to do that, there are only four questions. And the way to question the cause of our suffering, which is what we're thinking and believing, is to go to thework.com or byronkatie.com. And those questions are front and center. And how to use them is front and center. And it's 100%, it's free of charge. And we are so hand-holding in that. Anyone with an open mind can set themselves free of suffering and PTSD, or just how to hang on to our families when we're out of control, and how to make shifts that really matter, and how to be, how to hold down jobs without the fear and temperament and, for some of us, life is really tough. And for others of us, maybe it's not so tough, but we could all use a little work.
I love the power of even the statement that our thoughts aren't necessarily true. And it's hard to even detach from that. If I'm driving and someone cuts me off, in my head, I'm like, that guy's a jerk. That guy is not respecting me. That guy is a total whatever. And I believe that that's true. It's like, I believe that I know the full story, and the thought that's occurring to me is absolute truth. And it sounds like even the start is to realize it's not really true. It's not necessarily true at all.
Well, it's, and someone can tell us that, but it means nothing to us. We have to understand that for ourselves. And that's why this work is so valuable. It's like, that guy is a jerk. Is it true? Okay, so no trick question here. It's either yes or no, one syllable. And we don't stop and until we just sit in that. He's a jerk. Is it true? And we, he's already done it. He's 10 miles up the road now, and we're still angry or upset or unsettled. He was a jerk. Is it true? Okay, I see that image in my head when he cut me off, when he almost caused me, almost ran into me, almost caused me to run into him. I see that so clearly in my mind. He's a jerk. Is it true? Okay, so I've meditated there. I can see it. Yes, in my opinion, and it's my opinion that I'm dealing with. I'm the one I live with. Yes. There are only four questions. The second one is, can I absolutely know? Is it really true? that he's a jerk. Okay, now I'm going to go, maybe I missed something. And I'm going to give yes equal time and no equal time here. Is it true? Yes or no? Can I absolutely know that it's true? It's a jerk. Now I'm going to ponder that again just to see if I missed something. And now I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, the way my mind's going, Justin, is maybe he had a child in the back seat that was in some kind of peril and he turned around to grab a baby bottle or something. I mean, my mind, where's my mind going? He's a jerk. Can I absolutely know that it's true? Mm. Yeah, he's a jerk. My answer is still yes. You know, he could cause accidents, and that's worse than a baby bottle or, you know, falling out of my kid's mouth. Okay, so I'm still at a yes. You know, that was life-threatening. All right. Only four questions. Third question, how do I react? How do I react is the question when I believe the thought he's a jerk in that situation. So I'm going to meditate in that situation where he actually cut me off. Okay, my heart is pounding. Mm. I saw an image, just a flash of being rolling down the highway and both of us colliding and that affecting the cars behind us. And in my situation, I'm on the 405. Mm. and in here in California. And I saw that flash. How do you react and believe the thought he's a jerk? It takes me back to that place, and that's where I need to be to do this work. My heart is racing. My chest is tightened. My arms tighten on the steering wheel. I see that image of the future with us rolling down the hill, affecting other people, running into us, etc. And all the blood, I see it in my mind's eye. And as I witness that, I see how I react. Mm. And I begin to understand, maybe, is this the cause of my high blood pressure? Mm. You know, and let's say my family were in the car. Let's say I had children in the car with me. I'm teaching them how to react when someone cuts them off. I'm furious. I'm waving my arms. I'm calling them an idiot, a jerk. And he can't even hear me. He's a mile away now. Mm-hmm. And I'm still going on about it. Okay, so fourth question. There are only four. Continuing to meditate in that situation. Who would I be without the thought that guy is a jerk? Mm-hmm. So now I'm just witnessing him pulling in front of me. We're going down the highway. He pulled in front of me, cut me off. Who would I be without the thought, that guy's a jerk? Okay, I'm more alert. I'm quicker. Hmm. I'm clearer. I'm grateful we didn't collide. Hmm. I'm okay. In reality, I'm okay. I notice with the thought, I'm a mess. Now, it doesn't mean the thought's wrong or I'm thinking wrong. It's just, we are just getting to know the power of the, literally the cause of my suffering. As it turns out, it was not the guy that cut me off. Mm-hmm. It wasn't him at all. It's what I was thinking and believing about the future.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It caused the fear.
I love that too, because, you know, this happens to me a lot when I react in that way on the freeway, and it throws me off for half an hour, and I come home and I'm a jerk to my wife and I'm not present. And it's caused me a lot of pain and suffering. And the person who cut me off, they have no concept.
No, they just go on.
Yep.
And they cut us off. It lasted like a split second.
Yep.
And we're carrying it home.
Yeah. Yep. I dragged that with me. Yep.
What is the cause of my suffering? Is it that guy? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. It's me. Just just seeing that guy in my mind's eye, just, you know, and I only got a glimpse of him. It could have been a woman driver, mm-hmm. you know, with short hair. I don't mm-hmm. know. It happened so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy, you know, that jerk. So now we, this is such a good example, Justin, because, you know, it seems like a minor thing. But some of us, it accumulates, and we go home and beat our children,
mm-hmm.
or snap at our children, and then we hate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then we take the drug. Then we take the alcohol. This is not a little thing we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What we're thinking and believing is the cause of all suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, I'm gonna turn it around. The work is four questions and finding opposites.
Mm-hmm.
So that guy is a jerk, turned around, and that situation, I'm a jerk.
Mm. The way that I'm responding to him in that moment, I am a jerk. I'm shaking my fists, I'm cursing at him, I'm driving more aggressively.
Yeah.
I think we'll come back to this as well, but I think that the brilliance of the, what you call turning it around, is so incredible. And I don't know, maybe this is misrepresenting your work. I often find myself jumping to that point when I say things, you mm-hmm. know, like when I say something, you know, if I say to my wife, "You never listen," sometimes I'll catch myself and I'll reverse that. I'm like, what's more true here? Oh man, yeah. I'm not listening. I'm not listening to myself, what I need in this moment. Maybe I'm not listening to my wife.
Yes.
And your book is just exceptional. I love, it's just for listeners, it's interspersed with lots of examples. And we may get into more specific examples.
Which book, Justin?
Loving What Is.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Yep. It's all lined out there.
Mm-hmm. And I realize that's one of many books you have, but I just love because you've done this work with so many people, you're able to pull in stories and make it more concrete and go through these four steps.
Yes.
And one thing I was going to ask you, it almost seems like, you know, there's a little bit of repetition in those first two steps. Is this true? And then the second one, you know, is it really true? Can I absolutely know it's true? And it's almost like I picture it as little speed bumps of getting me to slow down. It's like, is this true?
Yeah.
Usually in the moment, I'm like, heck yes, it's absolutely true. Yeah. And then
we're so convinced.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's slow it down. Let's check it out. Let's meditate in that second question. Let's meditate in that situation, or just drop into it. Let's look again.
Mm-hmm.
Can I really know? Can I absolutely know that it's true? And I don't, Justin, I don't take that absolutely boat out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't let that word fool me. You
okay.
know, it's, you know, can I really, I really know that it's true? Not the rest of the world. This is my work. This is mm-hmm. individual to each of us. It is personal.
Mm-hmm.
When we're looking at the cause of all suffering, once we understand the cause of all suffering, then we are, you know, we're into something. We've got something so valuable that it shifts our lives where nothing else can.
Mm-hmm. And there,
like a lot of things shifts our lives,
mm-hmm.
but this one is steady as we go, you know, it's just handy dandy and it's free.
And there is a power in what you're saying. It makes me feel more proactive. I think I can get in this, and I know many listeners can probably relate, but I can get in this victim mindset really easily where I'm reactive. That driver did something to me, my wife, my coworker, my kids, they did something to me. And one of the things that I think is so powerful about what you're talking about, it's really taking ownership and realizing, what am I doing that's actually making my life more difficult, more painful?
Yes. What is my part? Mm-hmm. Now, yes, they hurt me. Yes, they did it. Yes. This isn't about faking ourselves out with, that it's not airy-fairy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they said what they said or they did what they did, it's a yes mm-hmm. to those first two questions. But my reaction, how I reacted, how I felt, what, you know, my part in it is the cause of my suffering,
mm-hmm.
not what someone else has said or done to me. That can never be the cause of my suffering.
And you can't
but
control it.
I'm thinking it. And yeah. believing mm-hmm. is the cause of my suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. I love having that kind of knowledge because it gives me the ultimate power mm-hmm. to have a happy life.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful too, because you're recentering me on the one piece of this equation where I have control, my
yes.
reaction, what I'm choosing to do after their inaction.
Thinking and believe, yeah, what I'm thinking and believing is the cause of my action.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I do this work, you know, it's like that guy is a jerk turned mm-hmm. around. I was a jerk,
mm-hmm.
you know, to myself, to my family, I was a jerk, and then I see. After meditating in those four questions, I see the way I jerk the car. If I had not been so frightened, I wouldn't have been so impulsive. And we either are impulsive or we're not. We can't stop that. But in hindsight, I can look back and see how he had to avoid me in some respect, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at, when I turn around, that guy is a jerk. I was a jerk. I'm a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
I want to really, it opens up a big space. It shows me my part. And you never know what you're going to see. And maybe I did a really good job. I saved our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just testing, you know, where is it that I was a jerk? We're not taking away the good we did, the good states. But when what we're thinking and believing overrides that, we feel, you know, we live out a life that, you know, if I say something, you know, if I'm angry and my family's there or something, you know, I'm going to feel guilty. That we can't get away with. Because our nature, by nature, we are calm and wise and good. But when we look at what we're thinking and believing, we feel guilt because we're going against our nature when we're thinking and believing against another human being or acting out and being hurtful in any way. It goes against our nature. And so that is the breeding ground. Guilt is the breeding ground of all addiction. But our main addiction is I'm addicted to being right.
Mm-hmm.
It's lethal because I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. I'm just writing that down. I think that's so brilliant. Guilt is the breeding ground of addiction, and I'm addicted to being right. It rings true for me in
yeah,
so
just,
much.
Just,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can do better. And I just don't know, Justin, if that's true. You know, we try, we aspire to it, but if we don't work with what we're thinking and believing, if we don't work with our thoughts, we're destined to more and more and more. We're just that jerk. And now let me tell you the story of that jerk. And oh boy, I was on the freeway the other day and that guy almost cost me my life. You know, it could have been, and we just go on and on and on, reinforcing on the cause of suffering and wondering why we're so depressed in the morning when we wake up.
And I love on that fourth question, I get the sense from the fourth question, we're getting an opportunity to choose the person that we want to be. Like we're getting that opportunity to really move towards the man or woman that we want to be in the world.
We can see it. Who would I be without the thought?
Mm-hmm.
That guy is a jerk. My goodness, you know, the clarity I have in the automobile could be much more clearly, but I have to sit in it and see. Mm-hmm. Would I be without the thought, kinder to my family? Would I be without the thought? My heart would not be racing. Mm. Potentially, I don't know, maybe my blood pressure would lower. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know is where we don't, you know, peace is underrated. It has a bad reputation. It looks dull. But there's nothing more exciting than peace. Mm-hmm. It's full of energy and a lifetime of how can I help.
I love that too. I think that peace does get a bad rap. It almost to me sometimes it feels like not laziness, but something similar to laziness. And yet I know that I do my best work when I'm in a state of peace, that I'm the best husband and father when I'm in that state of peace. And what you're providing listeners with the work is that roadmap to how to get back to that peace in the moment when we realize that we're triggered, that we're anxious or angry or bitter or whatever it is. You're giving us four simple steps to take that we can practice to build that muscle to get back to that place of peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we get to those turnarounds, the opposites, that guy is a jerk, turned around, I'm a jerk. Okay, now that doesn't mean I am. I'm just trying on the shoe. Because I could be very wrong there. We're just, these opposites, we just try them on. That guy's a jerk, I'm a jerk. Okay, it's a shoe. I'm going to try it on. It's not a trading on one belief for another or working in positive affirmations. Just try on the shoe in that situation. How meaningful is that? Just check it out.
And I'd love, you know, you've done a lot of work with VA treatment centers, and most of our, a lot of our audience is active duty military. Many people were in the military and now are into their civilian career. I'd love to delve a little bit more. And what would you want listeners to know about the work that you've done in VA treatment centers?
You know, actually, as far as literally working in VA centers, it was years ago, and I did a lot of work. It was in Virginia, and they actually had a program running there for a while. And then it shifted gears administration-wise, and it kind of fell between the cracks. But but I loved it. I loved it. It was... Oh my goodness! It was it happened to be all men in this situation, and I would just work with them one after another, and with all of them present to witness the other.
Wow!
And it was just so powerful, and the PTSD, and it's you know, this work it takes courage. It takes real courage, you know, because you're up against the ego. And it wants to win, and it's so it takes a kind of quietness and to sit in these questions, you know, because it's you with you.
I'm happy to throw out an example from questions I've heard before from our audience, but I was wondering, does any story stick out from that time at the VA or any trends that you saw? I can think of a couple hypothetical situations and how the work would apply to it. But before we go there, I'm just curious if any trend or specific example stands out.
You know, on happily, and I work with veterans all the time. But when you say administration, on what stands out for me, Justin, is the guys that really are stuck in their heads, which is what PTSD is. They're just stuck. They see it, smell it, taste it. They don't even know where they are when they're in an episode. And my job is to go into those most difficult moments that it is so difficult to even even look at and get that close to. Mm-hmm. But they did it. They can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most horrendous situations. Mm-hmm. And some of you veterans out there that have not experienced those horrendous situations, you've had enough. Enough is enough. I mean, it's not about the extent. I'm just using examples here of the possibility. If these guys can do it, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with women that are, oh my God, what they have been through, these veterans. And if they can do it, you veterans, you women out there, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was situations that they would come up with that they could be court-martialed for.
Mm.
And it's so painful, they'll go there anyway.
Mm.
And we just get the job done.
Mm.
Just get it done, because they'd rather be, you know, it's hell to have your wife and children line up against the wall, and you come to and you have your wife up against her feet are off the ground, you're strangling her, and it's hell, and you kind of wake up, and it's oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. We can do better.
Mm-hmm.
We can do better, because these are kind and caring, loving, bright human beings that are stuck in another time and place.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that so many veterans, you know, are sending other veterans to our website to get mm-hmm. a little. And, you know, we have a helpline too that's completely free, and they don't ask mm-hmm. who you are or where you come from, and they'll show you how to fill in a what I call a worksheet, mm-hmm. and then they'll support you through it.
And what I'm appreciating about that is, you know, some of the examples you were sharing are extreme, and I think that there's probably people in our audience where that will resonate with them, or maybe someone they served with. But mm-hmm. it's also an example of this structure, this framework, this work can work even in the most extreme cases. And
yes,
we started off with maybe a lighter case of getting cut off, all the way to abuse or violence. And what I think is great for listeners to know is it is a consistent framework and process that works with the most trivial pieces of our lives, all the way to our deepest, darkest secrets, the things that we're most ashamed of. It works for the full spectrum of those things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with this work, it's not about the experience. The experience is one thing, but what we're thinking and believing within that experience, and what we're continuing to think and believe, is what we believed there, and we keep reinforcing it, and it just keeps for some of us, the word is hell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is a way out.
Mm-hmm. And I can imagine some of those beliefs are, I'm not safe, or I can't trust people, or, you know, there's some really deep ideas that can take root and then serve us when we're back in our normal day-to-day life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, there were so many Vietnam vets there that, you know, what all they could do is just keep signing, just continuing to re-enlist
mm-hmm.
to do hitches there, because they just couldn't make it at home.
Mm.
It was so during that time, that was those were the people I was working with.
And
mainly.
And one of the examples I wanted to throw out, we can modify this, but oftentimes when I talk with veterans and they're frustrated, maybe they've left the military and it's taken them longer to find a job than they had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the statements that I thought maybe we could work with is some variety of, I deserve a job, or the hiring manager is not giving me a fair chance, or they're not understanding me. There's some sort of variant around the anger and frustration at the difficulty of finding a job or finding the job.
I would say of serving your country for years.
Mm-hmm.
And coming home and there's no job available.
Exactly.
And so I deserve a job. Mm-hmm. As you said, you know, let's look at this one.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done your duty to your country, mm-hmm. for your country, and you did it well.
Mm-hmm.
And you come home. And now you're out of the service, and you just want a job. You need a job.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the thought, well, I deserve a job.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve to be hired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you deserve a job.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true?
And I could picture myself as that person. Maybe, you know, maybe I stick with it and I say, you know, I serve my country for 5 years. I put my life on the line. I put my life on hold. So absolutely, I'm now back in the United States and 100%. I deserve this. The nation, they owe me this.
Okay. So let's say all of that came to you silently as you pondered the question, is it true?
Mm-hmm.
So your answer is yes, that's what you found. Now, can you really know, can you absolutely know that it's true that you deserve a job?
And maybe here I would slow down and think, maybe I would think, well, like when I entered and I signed my paperwork, it wasn't part of the deal that I would get employment afterwards. That wasn't part of the contract. I was never, when I swore my oath, that was never part of the oath that I swore. So I would say in this moment, no, I can't really know that that's true.
So as you said in that, and we're hearing out loud, how your mind would flow in mm-hmm. response to the question, can I absolutely know that it's true? I deserve a job. Your yes moved to a no.
Mm-hmm.
And in this situation. So now we've done two of the four questions. So how do you react? What happens when you believe the thought you deserve mm-hmm. a job? Now let's say the situation is the third company or employer has just turned you down.
Mm. Yeah. And
you're in the office. It was an mm-hmm. interview. They told you no. Again,
mm-hmm.
how do you react?
I react.
What happens
when you leave
the job? I'm
angry. I'm frustrated. I think that the hiring manager is a jerk. I'm thinking that the odds are stacked against me. I'm thinking that I'm never going to get a job. I'm thinking that, yeah, the game is rigged and other people are winning and I'm just set up to fail. Like I feel like
and
a failure.
And you've been used.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel betrayed.
Betrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just feel that, you know, this is just any of you listening to this out there, just feel what that feels like. And look at those images that Justin was sharing with us of past, future. The past, where you put in your time, you did mm-hmm. your job, you did your duty, you did it well. And even if you didn't, in your opinion, you weren't, you know, you went all the way. So, you know, just sit in that and you see those images of the past proving that you deserve a job. Then you see the images of the future and Justin, you know, where I heard you say, where you can't get a job, no one's ever going to mm-hmm. hire you. You're going to lose your the next month's rent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you have families.
Mm-hmm.
So you see those images in your mind's eye of past, future, as you're sitting in this, I deserve a job. How do I react when I believe the thought?
Mm-hmm.
There are those images of past, future. Now get in touch with your emotions as you're sitting in that movie.
Mm. Yeah, I feel terrified. I feel afraid. Like that picture of my family not having food or lodging, not being the provider. I feel sad. I feel afraid. I feel angry. I feel lonely. Yeah, I feel lonely thinking of that.
Now, notice with all of that going on, you take that with you the next time you're trying to get yourself together to go apply for another job.
Mm-hmm.
You're carrying that with you.
It's so true. I would walk into it's the next interview. Yeah, I would walk into the next interview. I think of,
to be turned down, and it shows in your attitude.
It does. It does.
So you try to fake your attitude to be like what you think they think you ought to look like and sound like, so you're not even you. Mm-hmm. And if they do hire you, look what you have to live up to, that fake you.
Mm-hmm.
And all this shows up. How do I react? What happens when I believe the thought? And so we just witness all that and the stillness of ourselves and our own time and place and our favorite chair at home, just meditating in this thought, I deserve a job. So now we're at 4.
Mm-hmm.
So who would you be applying for that job? You know, they've just, what was the scenario? They've just passed you over.
And it's the third job I've applied to. Yeah. I haven't gotten an offer from any three. And so okay, I think so, of shedding that. If I think of getting rid of that,
who would you be? You're in. Let's say his office. Would you be without the thought, I deserve this job?
Mm.
Now just take all the, just drop all your thoughts and just be there now.
Mm-hmm.
Facing I would be hungry. That man that said no, we can't use you.
Mm-hmm.
And look into his face, look into his eyes without the thought, I deserve this job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be confident I'm going to find a job somewhere else. I think that with this hiring manager that's just turned me down, I think I'd be friendly. I think I'd want to preserve the relationship. I think I wouldn't take it personally. I would be open. I'd be asking his feedback, actually. I think I'd be open to learning what I could do differently. Not with neediness, but just with genuine curiosity. And I think I would be confident that it'll work out the next time.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
That is powerful.
Yep.
Facing this person with that kind of confidence, you know, on what is it about me or my experience that, you know, can you recommend, like, what is it that you turned me down for specifically? I mean, the way you were open, that is
I'll share with listeners, you know, I've been turned down from jobs as an entrepreneur. I've been turned down from funding when I was raising money. And what came through so strongly there for me, Byron, is realizing the subconscious ways that attitude weighs me down and the baggage. And honestly, with listeners, before I was married in my dating days, when I bring that needy energy to a date, when I bring that rejection to a date, it really does show up. It affects how I show up. And there's times when I've caught myself and I slough that off. And you know, where we got to at the end of those 4 questions, I've been there where it's more powerful, where I ask the person who just told me he's not going to write me a check for funding, great, who do you know? What else can I learn? And I bring it with, like, not the bitterness or accusation that would cause them to shut down. And it completely changed the conversation. Some of those people stay in contact with. It's the same for hiring. And there's just a power to that step-by-step process. And I know that we're dealing with a little bit of a hypothetical here, but I do.
It's not so hypothetical for some of us.
Yeah, it's very real. And I feel differently. I feel differently picturing myself in that moment.
Yeah. What I love about this work, Justin, is it, and you just spoke to it so beautifully. What I love about doing inquiry, sitting in this work, is it affects the rest of my life everywhere, not just in applying for a job. Mm-hmm. It enlightens me to myself and the difference between the dream world and the real world. Mm-hmm. In other words, how I react when I believe the thought, I'm not in the real world. I'm being shown those past, the future, the past, the future. And that's fake, as we say, fake news. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and as we witness that, we say and do and feel things that you know, veterans, you've had enough, you know, you can, mm-hmm. this is stuff you can take care of, that no one has control over you with this stuff. When you're sitting in yourself, because you are the one you've been looking for. You are you're it.
I love it.
I deserve a job. Mm-hmm. So how would you turn that around, Justin?
I don't deserve a job.
Okay, and we're looking at this job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
or I don't deserve
that situation.
Yeah, I don't deserve this job. Or this job doesn't deserve me. Or
those, so ponder those. This job doesn't deserve me. Look around in that situation. Mm-hmm. Is that the job you really want?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that a job that, you know, it doesn't mean you wouldn't take the job.
Yeah.
But just, but you know.
I love that. No, I love that. When I think that thought, this job doesn't deserve me, it makes me feel like there's a better job out there for me, a better fit, a better home, a better place for me. Like it makes me feel even grateful that, okay, this isn't it then.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I hope all you listeners out there that, you know, that you're sitting as deeply into Justin's work as I am. It's really powerful.
Thank you.
Can you see another turnaround? I deserve a job in that situation. Sometimes you'll only find one turnaround. Sometimes four or five turnarounds. You know, these are just like being in a shoe store. These are turnarounds, like shoes. We're just trying on.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What would be, I don't deserve this job. This job doesn't deserve me.
You know where I went? This isn't a turnaround, but it came to me. I have a job. You know, I'm hearing from you. You're a father, a husband.
Yeah, you know, that lands.
It's not as though we don't have jobs. And if I have no one and I'm alone and I'm on the streets, you know, I have a job.
Mm-hmm.
It is being kind to my fellow human beings.
I love
and
that too.
That is, that is the kindest thing I can give myself.
I love that too, because it honors, for me right now, it honors the role I have as father, as husband, as neighbor, as member of my community. And the thing that popped in my head when you said that, of like, I have a job, is also, you know, what might be true for me is my job right now is finding a job. Like, that is my job. And I'm learning it like I learn any other job, and I'm going to apply myself like I do in anything else. And my job
really
is
powerful.
To find a job. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really powerful. And what jobs do our egos say, you know, this is beneath me. You know, how serious am I about finding a job? You know, from those lesser jobs that we think, you know, we deserve a better job. Those lesser jobs can lead us to other jobs. There's nothing that is not good training.
Yeah, and I love that you articulated that. I know we only have a couple minutes left, but for listeners, this would be a great way to take this forward, to go to thework.com, to go to byronkatie.com. And for listeners at beyonduniform.org, I'll list all of Byron's books and these websites, so you don't have to write it down if you're driving right now. But the other thought that comes to me is how often guests on my podcast, when they first got out of the military, they were expecting to be at the same level of leadership and responsibility that they were in the military, even though they're in a brand new industry or role. And some phrases that listeners might want to try this work out with on their own might be, you know, I deserve to be managing people at this organization. I'm better than this position. I deserve to be more senior. Figure out one of those phrases that work for you. And that would be a great way to explore using this worksheet at thework.com on your own. And just know that those are things that I've said. Those are things that hundreds of guests on my show have said. So there's no judgment here. It's very, very common. But it might lead you to an answer that's different for you. Even using the same exercise we just went through of me just imagining deserving that job, you might come to better senses of what's going on and better answers. So it's worthwhile to play with these and see what comes up for you. And Byron, I want to be respectful of your time. I'll list your books. I'll list your resources.
Well, Loving What Is, you know, you mentioned that, and I would just anyone out there that you know, if you can't get to Loving What Is fast enough, there's a kind of excerpt. Anyway, yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Byron. I know that in your work, I mean, I read your book years ago. It's had an impact on my life, my family's life. I know that you work with so many veterans, so many families, so many people in our community. And I'm just appreciative of the work you continue
love
to
it.
Do.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a 9-day school for the work coming up. If it's cautious, just in a few days, but on any veterans out there that we certainly have discounts. I don't know how full it is either, if there's even room, but the work is free on thework.com.
Awesome. And for listeners, I'll look at the Byron's website and I'll put in some upcoming events. So if you miss this upcoming 9-day event, she does events all the time. And so I'll kind of list the upcoming ones that you might want to check out. So Byron, thank you for your time and thank you for your help today.
Oh, thank you, Justin. It's such a privilege. Thank you for asking me. And I love what you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Surface.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Quick couple admin points. We release brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday. Those are usually recorded about a month or so before they go live. Every Monday and Thursday, we have an interview, usually almost always with a military veteran about their civilian career. More and more, we're starting to add in experts who may not be veterans, but may have some expertise that will help the military veteran community. Saturdays, I typically post more of a behind the scenes episode, which is a free form format. I try to use what I'm calling a mullet format. And by that, I mean business up front, party in the back, talking through admin points, professional topics related to the podcast. It might be a conversation I had that week. It might have been an interview I had that week, but just trying to share things that are top of mind that may help you in more of a free form, straight from the heart format. And then the party in the back is the personal side of things, just kind of more free-flowing thoughts on life, on improving oneself, just kind of whatever's going on in life and trying to be authentic and honest about those things as well. Special thanks. We have an all-volunteer army of people behind Beyond the Uniform making this possible. We do this on our lunch breaks, on our evenings, on our weekends, because we love the military community. We want to give back. We want to make a difference. We want that as part of the purpose in our life that we valued in the military. So special thanks to Steve Bain. Steve does pretty much everything. He helps secure guests. He does our newsletter. He keeps the reels rolling and keeps me sane. Kathleen Dillon, the first person to join our team. She writes text transcripts of every single episode. It's wild. She keeps up with two of these a week despite a demanding career and education right now. But those transcripts help us get more SEO value, helps her audience more. Andrew Woolridge is our data guru. He helps us understand the numbers, which is the easiest way for us to figure out how we can better support you, and adds kind of the data oversight for that. Rick Healy does all of our social media. He is gaining more and more of an audience for us by getting our videos, getting our podcasts out on social channels. The best way to stay in contact with us is if you go to beyondtheuniform.org, there is a newsletter You'll have a little pop-up that comes up. You can put your email in. We email twice per month. We try to be respectful, but it is a great way to get appraised of upcoming events, upcoming interviews, promos where companies are giving discounts to Beyond the Uniform listeners, and more. This does cost money to put on. We are committed to not charging veterans directly. And the way that we kind of offset costs is through corporate sponsors. So if you know of a company that would like to get in front of a military audience and their families, that's one way that we can both add value to our members, but also offset the costs of Beyond the Uniform and give us a little bit of budget to start expanding what we're doing. So that's the best way you can help us. If that's not something that you can do, a positive review on iTunes is greatly appreciated. Have a wonderful week. We will be back Monday, Thursday, and Saturday with more interviews. And keep up the listening. Take care.